Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. Two for one, no concern for the future. Living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow, mad cow, mad cow, line dance song.
Hey, Sign Guy Nation, welcome to the show here on another Friday. QT and Sign Guy with you as normal. Real fast before we jump into things today, some show notes. If you're looking for some wrestling, IWA Mid-South's anniversary show today in Connersville, Indiana. WCWO running in Indianapolis, Indiana. Tomorrow night, Flawless makes its debut in Knoxville, Tennessee. You can find myself performing in, well, you can't find me, but you'll see me live streaming across the world for Wrestle Club in Caldwell, Idaho. No fans in attendance, but it will be live streamed. And, of course, tonight, tomorrow and Sunday in Indianapolis is The Collective. There are shows going on all day and night all over Indianapolis. Dozens upon dozens upon dozens of wrestlers performing in and around Indianapolis for a wide variety of promotions, including Shimmer tomorrow night. So make sure you find a show, go out there and support it. Lots of wrestling happening in the next few days. Our guest is running just a few minutes late due to traffic. He will be with us shortly. But QT, Wrestle Club's back. I'll be there tomorrow. I'm looking forward to being back for Wrestle Club.
Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners what your time of departure will be from the area of Seattle? Or your departure?
No, because what if a creepy stalker were to track me and try to follow me? That'd be weird.
There are a lot of creepy stalkers connected with you, yes.
Yeah. Now, QT, have you ever asked someone to give their time of departure from, let's say, around the Seattle area, and then you trailed them from approximately 25 yards behind them their entire way to their destination, and then got out and you hid behind bushes their entire journey?
I have been known to wear some very good trench coats and floppy hats and sunglasses to disguise myself. Yes.
So you kind of look like Diane Keaton a little bit, what you're saying.
Yes. I'm sure he's probably not listening, but I may have been hot on the trail once of Tex Thompson like this.
Yeah, I could definitely see that, yeah. Tex Thompson's probably right now jumping up in the air saying, I knew it.
Yes. And, you know, I call it sleuthing. It's kind of like a stalking. The original masters of this art were like the Midwestern Indians, you know, how they could track people without being seen.
Well, okay.
Well, I think the ancestors of J.B. Moonshine were also schooled under this tutelage of stalking. J.B. Moonshine.
Is that because they had to avoid all of the, like, revenuers when they were putting out moonshine back in the Prohibition era?
Not really revenuers, just bounty hunters. Bounty hunters, yes. J.B. Moonshine was able to avoid all these bounty hunters by taking up the Midwestern Indians' sleuthing, blending into the shadows and tracking, J.B. Moonshine. He kind of passed that on to me.
Really? Okay.
Yes. And I have since taken these skills that J.B. has taught me in kind of like stalking Tex Thompson. He never wants to talk to me anymore about my innovative ideas.
Has he ever dove across the street, narrowly missing being hit by a car, just to get away from these interesting ideas?
Yeah, he did, yes. And then after he successfully evaded me, I had to talk to Patty.
Oh, wow, poor Patty.
Oh, no, she was quite receptive to my ideas, like pole vaulting over the top rope and building a plywood runway down to the ring. Yes, combining
you
track and field.
You think we'll have that built by the time live events are able to be ran in Oregon?
Well, they should have been started a long time ago. Lord knows we've had the time.
Yeah, they definitely have. Well, you'll have to talk to Patty and see if those are closer to being a reality.
You can look forward to that.
Now, QT Sunday on Turnbuckle Turmoil, we will have Charlie Cruel. She will be at the aforementioned Flawless Show, which is an all-female promotion in Tennessee. She will also be at shows for the Collective today and even on Sunday. She's all over the place. Charlie Cruel, someone I think the listeners will enjoy hearing from because she is one of the best up-and-coming wrestlers on the independent scene. I don't care if it's male or female. She's right there with anybody. Great, great young talent. QT, you better be on your A game.
Wow, Charlie Cruel. Now, does she have her eye on any Northwest wrestlers like Sunny Days?
I'm sure she would wrestle against anybody.
How about Casey Carlisle? Has Charlie Cruel been a notable viewer of your Sign of the Times?
I cannot confirm or deny that, but I'm sure she would face anybody, which would include both Sunny Days and Casey Carlisle.
Well, now, who wouldn't want a large title belt, several title belts that Casey Carlisle holds? Yes, I'm sure Charlie Cruel, if she you'll have to confirm if she is a viewer of your YouTube videos, and if she has her eye on any of those belts.
Well, I believe Charlie Cruel does like to win championship belts, so, you know, I'm sure she would take a gander at those and see if there are any that catch her eye specifically. But Charlie Cruel wrestles all over the country, as does Casey Carlisle. I'm sure it's a matter of time before they cross paths.
Has Charlie Cruel ever driven a school bus up in Alaska like Sunny Days did?
I don't believe that has happened for her yet.
Oh, okay. Yes, as you know, Sign Guys, Sunny Days had that bus parked when a wrestler leaped off the top of it.
Can you tell us the name of that wrestler and what were the color of the boots they were wearing at the time of the leap?
I believe the boots were a jet black. And I have yet to pin down the name of the wrestler, though. Am I correct in the boots were jet black?
Possibly. Now, can you check with Sunny Days and see if she can give you the name of said wrestler and confirm the color of said wrestler's boots?
Okay, that'll be my homework assignment. Yes.
I think the listeners would be very interested in finding out the answers if you were able to confirm.
I will try to get back to our myriad of listeners with this information, yes. Very good. Oh, okay. Now, Sign Guy, when you go over to Idaho tomorrow, will you be stopping in Ellensburg at Campus U Totem for their fried cauliflower? Campus U Totem.
I didn't have specific plans, but I guess it's a possibility.
All right. Well, now, Sign, as you know, I'm particularly in tune with our Northwest weather. We're supposed to have some rain coming in, and the snow levels are the mountains are supposed to get the first dusting of snow. I don't know if the snow will be down to past level, but the rain is supposed to start tonight, so you might want to tune in to what pass are you going over, Snoqualmie?
No, I don't believe so. I believe we'll probably cut through Oregon.
Oh, wow, Oregon, okay. Okay. Well, you might want
to. We're headed to Boise rather than Post Falls. But it looks like QT, our guest, has joined us. Let's bring him on right away here. Do we have with us Lamar Diggs?
Yes, sir, the one and only.
Well, thank you very much for being with us here today. We appreciate your time greatly. And to start things off, I'm going to ask you our traditional first-timer question, since it's your first time with us. What led to you getting into the pro wrestling industry?
It's cheaper than therapy. You know, I get to travel the world and beat up people for a living. And like I said, it's cheaper than the therapist, and I get paid to do it.
Now, going into pro wrestling, did you have a prior background that was going to prepare you for pro wrestling, be it an amateur wrestling or an MMA or drama or anything of that nature?
I had, well, athletically, yeah. I'm a three-sport athlete. I played football, basketball, and tennis. But other than that, no MMA, no anything. I just kind of – I saw the opportunity. I always wanted to do it, and I just jumped into it.
Now, professional wrestling in your area, as well as a lot of places in the country, is prone to having state athletic commissions run the pro wrestling. Every state's different as far as requirements and what the state wants to have from the wrestlers and or the promoters. I'm sure that you've been in states that have commissions. Just as a general rule, what do you think of athletic commissions running pro wrestling as it relates to the industry here in 2020?
Honestly, I hate it. Especially down in the South where I'm at, they don't do anything. They're more there to just collect the money and pretend that they, you know, they're trying to champion professional wrestling. I haven't seen them do anything in the 4 years that I've been wrestling except for Alabama, where they just show up, collect money, and fine people for things. But as far as helping the wrestlers in any way, shape, or form, I don't believe they've done any. I'm not a fan of it. But most, like I said, most don't do anything, but Alabama's the worst. They go out their way to harbor. I mean, to hurt wrestling in general.
One of the things that is controlled by some state athletic commissions, which can either really hurt wrestling shows or sometimes help wrestling shows, depending on your point of view, is blood in professional wrestling. A lot of states that do have commissions have specific regulations on what you're supposed to do if blood is introduced into a match. We know more today than we did even 5 to 10 years ago about bloodborne illnesses and so forth. It's been a hot topic for several years now if blood should be part of professional wrestling or not. What's your own personal stance on how blood can or should relate to pro wrestling?
Well, blood can enhance a match, a few things like that, but it's when it gets overdone for no reason. That's when it takes away from everything. Like, every match can't be a death match. Every match can have somebody bleeding like a pig. Blood should only be introduced when it either happens the hard way or it's some kind of mega feud. But even with, like, most shows you go on, they're prepared for it. Some of them will stop the match, automatic win if you start bleeding profusely. And some of them will check on, you know, to see how the cut is. They'll call off the match. So it just all depends how it's done. But I don't mind it if it's done correctly.
One of the things that has become extremely important for professional wrestling as an industry, and especially for professional wrestlers as independent contractors, really, is social media. Over the last decade, social media has become pretty much an everyday tool that people in the wrestling industry use to some degree or another. Based on what you see personally and what you use personally, do you think that the industry, by and large, correctly uses social media? And do you think that a lot of the people within wrestling really understand how to correctly and successfully use social media?
To me, I don't like social media in wrestling because it kind of blurs the lines, and it kind of, you know, is you're super mega heel on TV, and then you're happy-go-lucky face on Twitch. It just kind of confuses people. Wrestling used to be like a select group. Now everyone thinks they know wrestling because of social media. Everyone thinks that they know more about wrestling than the wrestlers themselves. And in my opinion, that's led to more of the downfall of professional wrestling, that they've used social media to get so close to the trade secrets and the things that they wouldn't be privy to.
Now, one of the other things that we've seen in 2020, of course, is due to the real-world events, wrestling has more or less changed like a lot of things in the world. On shows you've seen and been a part of in the last 8 to 9 months, what changes do you see that you think might be part of the industry going forward, and what changes do you think might just be temporary?
Well, the show sizes to start off with. You know, most indie wrestling shows are either done in bars or community centers or things like that, and they're being real strict on the 10% rule. You can only have, you know, 10% of the full capacity. That's hopefully going to change for the better. The safety precautions they're starting to use, I hope they keep that, because you know, there's a lot of stuff going around, and you know, it's like the more knowledge you know about something, once you get in the habit of doing it, you're protecting your wrestlers, you're increasing their longevity, because you got some of these people's rings that haven't been washed in 20 years, and if it wasn't for COVID, they wouldn't have been washed. So I'm all for some of the changes, but I really miss the crowds.
Absolutely agree with you there. Now, your style of pro wrestling is pretty well power based. You're a bigger guy, so you do a lot of power moves. We've seen in the last few years submission wrestling gaining a little bit more of a cult following amongst fans. People like to see the submission-based wrestling from wrestlers of any size these days. What type of submission-based game do you like to employ when you're wrestling?
Like you said, I'm more of a power-based wrestler, but I do have a couple submissions I'll break out. I like the arm trap triangle. I like stuff that, you know, they say you take the head out, the body follows. So anything that allows me to incorporate my power with the submission, it's just a privy to me. I like the old school submissions also. The full Nelson, I've incorporated that more. I started using the Tequila Sunrise and things of that nature. Just something that I can implement my weight and my power onto you, so I don't have to get fancy with it, because that's not my specialty.
Now, a lot of times we see the bigger power wrestlers doing shorter matches, and they'll be in and out of the ring within 10 minutes a lot of the time. But oftentimes we see guys that prefer to go longer matches and be out there for 15 to 25 minutes. In your career to this point, what would you say has been your longest match?
Ooh, longest match I had was probably around the 22-minute mark. Less than 30 minutes, but it was in 20 and 30 minutes. It was actually against a bigger guy. It's just in wrestling terms, if you can finish it quick, I don't mind short matches, 10 to 10 minute matches, under 10 minutes, because everybody's not meant to go 30 minutes, because that exposes a lot of people going those long periods of time.
We've seen in pro wrestling over the last probably 15 to 20 years a very steep decline in the amount of managers that are used on the national basis. We've seen a little bit of a brief resurgence of them in the last couple of years, but prior to that it was few and far between that you would see an actual manager on a national wrestling show. The independents seem to have quite a few more managers on them, but it's also sort of a dying art on the independents. Where do you see the role of manager as it relates to 2020?
Oh, that's a good one. You're right. A good manager is hard to find. They're slowly coming in, but the problem seems to be when the manager gets more popular than the wrestler, and then they want to do both. Like, some people, it's all about knowing your roles. I'm always down for a good manager. I'm looking for one myself, but a manager has to realize that the wrestler is the center of attention. All the attention needs to go to him, not on the manager.
We've seen in pro wrestling since the late 90s a very wide amount of wrestling-related books come out. Once Mick Foley became a number one New York Times bestseller, a lot of wrestlers were comfortable with releasing their autobiographies. Publishers were happy to see pro wrestling related books come out since they sold well. There's been books on pretty much every aspect and from people from every role imaginable within wrestling. What would you say for you personally would be the best book about pro wrestling or a pro wrestler in specific?
I'm not even going to lie to you. It's been so long since I've read a pro wrestling book. I think the last wrestling book I read was Jericho's. May have been Undisputed. It's been a while. I can't even answer that question, honestly.
No problem. Well, we have a game on the show that we like to play. We call it Bring On to Choice, Bring On to Funk, and I will ask you a series of two options, and the one that is your own personal preference is the answer. Are you prepared for a round of Bring On to Choice, Bring On to Funk?
Let's do it.
All right, here we go. Tights or trunks?
Tights.
Power slam or power bomb?
Ooh, that's a good one. I'm always down for a good old power slam.
Soup or salad?
Gotta go with soup.
Super kick or bicycle kick?
Oh, bicycle kick. Super kick's played out.
Valentine's Day or St. Patrick's Day?
Good day to get drunk on both. St. Patrick's Day.
Holiday Inn or Ramada?
Ramada, more class.
Matt Hardy or Matt Sydal?
I gotta go Matt Hardy.
Leg drop or elbow drop?
Elbow.
And the final one, battle royal or barbed wire match?
Oh, clusterfucks. Probably the battle royal. I've never had a barbed wire
match. Are you not a fan of the no ropes barbed wire matches?
I am not a fan of the no rope barbed wire matches. I'm not even gonna lie.
I don't blame you at all. Well, at this point, my co-host QT Vokes is standing by, and I know he has questions as well, so I'm going to pass things along to QT for a bit.
Well, thank you, Sun Guy. Hello, Mr. Lamar.
How you doing, QT?
Not bad, pretty good. Mr. Lamar, I saw your YouTube video entitled Lamar Diggs Entrance Video. Now, I was listening to your entrance music. What group provided the song for this video? I have narrowed it down to two groups that I think did it. Was it Bones Thugs and Harmony or Grandmaster Flash and the Fabulous Five?
I was neither. My entrance music is done by a guy named Corey Bigby. He's actually toured with Bone Thugs, but he has an entire album where he took the theme music from, I want to say, which one was on the 64? Whichever WWE wrestling, No Mercy, there it is. He took the theme music from No Mercy and everyone's theme music and turned it into an entire album. So that's why you hear Haynes in the background. It's him. What are the other two guys' names? You're putting me on the spot. Corey Bigby and two other guys. I can't even think of their names. And I don't want to look them up because that's cheating. But, yeah, it's custom up to the sample.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, have you yourself ever used the entrance music Who's in the House by Afrika Bambaataa and the Soul Sonic Force?
I've never heard the song, so that'll be a no.
Oh, okay.
I think I'm losing my blood for that one.
All right. Well, Lamar, Afrika Bambaataa's musical lineup consisted of Ellis William as Mr. Biggs, Robert Darnell Allen as Powwow, John Miller as The Globe, John Bays as DJ Jazzy J, and Ben Spangler as Comic Force. However, there was a member or contributor who is not listed as an official member of Afrika Bambaataa who nonetheless contributed to their song Planet Rock and was a substitute on their 1993 U.S. tour. His name was Dan Brown, who went by the street name Biggie Fries. Now, Biggie Fries filled in behind the scenes in much the same way as Bruce Hornsby did with the Grateful Dead. My question is, why has there never been a wrestler called Biggie Fries?
That went somewhere. I wasn't expecting that. That's a good one. There's a couple who should be called Biggie Fries. But I have no idea, but I'm going to pitch that to a couple of guys. I just got to know the perfect guy I can get that to. Oh, that was hilarious right there.
Okay, do you yourself believe that there has never been a wrestler called Biggie Fries because the indie wrestling owners and promoters want to set a good example and lower cholesterol levels across the U.S., plus first combat the growing obesity crisis that plagues our health system?
You know what? That's all kind of conspiracy theories. There ain't no telling. That's probably true. Since most bar shows do serve fried, so they don't want to give them free promotion off the fries. So yeah, we'll run with that one.
All right, no biggie fries in wrestling. Okay, very good. Okay, well, Mr. Lamar, what did you think of the seminal moment in WWE history when Money Mayweather punched Big Show in the nose?
I loved it. You know, I hate celebrity matches because they seem unrealistic, but when you have someone of Mayweather's caliber, you know, it's classic big man, little man, speed versus power, but you have someone at the top of their game. Ever since that match, 90% of the celebrities that have come into wrestling have tried to outdo that match, and it just makes it better for overall appeal. It helps everybody in the long run. You don't have any WCW David Arquette bullcrap going on. Everyone's trying to outdo that match. I consider it a classic. I loved it, especially that finish.
Okay. All right. Well, Mr. Diggs, at the time of that incident, do you know if Money Mayweather was at 130 pounds or lightweight, or was he at 135 pounds welterweight, or 140 pounds super welterweight?
You know, if you'd asked me this about 5 years ago, I could have answered it. But I'm going to say 135 as a guess.
Okay.
That's about super, on what he is now. So.
Okay, that'd be super lightweight or welterweight. Yes, junior welterweight. Okay.
Yes.
All right, pretty good. Okay, Money Mayweather. All right. Well, Mr. Diggs, I also saw your YouTube video entitled Soviet Assassin versus Lamar Diggs, New Wave Championship Wrestling 1-19. My first question is, were you aware that Russia has a long history of lucha wrestling, or was your opponent a new phenomenon and pioneer of lucha wrestling in Russia?
Well, you know, Russia's usually there on their power game, but, you know, I think Russian lucha libre, you know, you have the bigger luchadors who are unskilled, and that's their gimmick. So, yeah, they probably trying to bring something new. It didn't work, but he's still out there trying his hardest, though.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Mr. Diggs, speaking of the Russian assassin, were you a big fan of Nikolai Volkov, who started out in Vince McMahon Sr.'s WWF in 1970 as Beepo Mongol and was managed by Captain Lou Albano?
I was not. That is so far before my time. I can't say. Anytime I saw older wrestling like that, I was so involved and he's the bad guy, I can't like him, unlike today.
Okay. All right. Well, Mr. Diggs, speaking of Beepo Mongol, are you vehemently against the loser motorcycle gang, the Mongols, whose main chapter is in Texas and they often feud with the Bandidos motorcycle club? Are you vehemently against the Mongols? That's what I'm trying to ask.
Well, any Mongols I've ever heard of have done nothing but rape and pillage. So, yeah, we're against the Mongols.
Oh, okay. Yeah, as your homework assignment, you may want to look up Mongols Motorcycle Club. They're a bunch of losers. Mongols.
See, I had it right.
Oh, okay. Well, Mr. Diggs, in 1976, Nikolai Volkov was inducted into the tag team, the Executioners, whose two other members were Killer Kowalski and Big John Studd. My question is, if you were to revive the Executioners as the executioners of the 21st century, and you yourself were to take on the role of Big John Studd, what other wrestlers do you know who would take on the mantle of legend of the or legacy of Nikolai Volkov and Killer Kowalski? Who are the other two wrestlers in?
I would actually, let's see. I'll pick a foreign guy just to make it sure. I'd give that to Miro. You know, he could play that heel role good. You know, following in tradition. But yeah, I'll give it to Miro, Rusev, whatever he's being called right now.
Okay. Who would play the role of Killer Kowalski?
Me.
Oh, okay. Well, I assigned you the role of Big John Studd. That's what I assigned you.
I'm pulling double duty.
Oh,
I'm
double
coming
duty.
Out with
right. Oh, okay. As executioners of the 21st century, very good. Well, Mr. Diggs, at the 3-minute and 2-second mark of your match with the Russian assassin, you had collapsed on the middle rope with a man in a white suit and a black, when a man with a white suit and black lucha mask pulled down on your head. My question is, did you find out who this mysterious stranger was who choked you when the referee was distracted?
No. Until this day, I still don't know who that man was, and I think he stole one of my 8x10s out of the locker room.
Oh, you were in the locker room? Okay. Yes. Well, at that time, okay. All right. Well, Mr. Lamar, the Gulf Coast is currently being impacted by a Category 2 hurricane. For the first time on the Turnbuckle Turmoil Wrestling Show, can you give us an update on the weather conditions in Alabama?
I can't, but ironically, speaking of Alabama, after this interview, I'm headed that way, family, so I'm going to check it on the way out. But I haven't gotten any bad reports so far today, so I'm trying to get there before anything happens. So I'm guessing it's just a little rain at the moment.
A little bit of rain, okay. All right. Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners, are you currently in Alabama? Are you out, right on the border of Alabama, preparing to come back into Alabama? Our listeners.
Oh, I'm currently right now, I'm in Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh.
I'm about 2.5-3 hours from Alabama.
Oh, okay. Now, speaking of hurricanes and the hurricane that is about to strike Louisiana, why haven't there been any wrestlers called Storm Surge?
Usually because they're not that creative, but they just stop at Storm, you know. Everybody wants to be some kind of Storm. We got a Josh Storm, Tony Storm, Stormy Daniels. You know, I don't think a lot of wrestlers are smart enough to put those double S's together and get the Surge after it.
Okay, no wrestlers called the Storm Surge. I myself was a big fan of the Hurricane, and his backstage antics with The Rock are now legendary. Were you yourself
yes.
a big fan of the Hurricane?
I loved it. I loved it. When Hurricane finally hit The Rock with that chokeslam, young me popped ecstatically. I mean, I was just outraged. They teased that chokeslam so much. And when he finally hit it, it was crazy. It was like the first time The Rock hit the people's elbow because no one knew what the hell it was. But that chokeslam was awesome.
Was one of your more favorite moments was when the Hurricane was hiding in the locker room and The Rock came in and he looked in the locker and the Hurricane was in there and The Rock shut the locker and then he shook his head and opened it back up and there was a Hurricane. Was that one of your favorite moments?
It was. The Rock and the Hurricane had such chemistry. It was like everything they did was comedic gold.
It was kind
of
like
I can't think of any bad spots with them.
It was kind of like the Goldust and Booker T.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a comically. I mean, that duo was awesome in itself. Very underappreciated duo of Goldust and Booker T.
Have you yourself ever run into Booker T or seen him in airports?
I have not. I have missed him four occasions, so I've been told.
Okay. All right. Well, Mr. Diggs, Donald Trump is the only president to have stepped into the WWE wrestling ring when he teamed with Bobby Lashley to be victorious against Vince McMahon in the Battle of the Billionaires. My question is, once he wins this election, do you believe he will team with Kanye West and make a second appearance?
Well, hopefully that won't happen, but no, I think Kanye is going to come. I hope Kanye is going to come to his senses sooner or later. As the song says, we miss the old Kanye. The George Bush doesn't like black people. He was better. I'm getting tired of gospel Kanye.
Now, if Kanye and Donald were to make a tag team, do you believe they would mold themselves after Crime Time?
You know what? Ironically, considering all the stuff they got away with, that's about as accurate as you can get right there.
How do you think Donald Trump would look in Doc Martens and also sporting a lot of gold bling? Do you think that would be a good look for Donald Trump?
Now, you seen the cartoon Annoying Orange? They had an episode with the orange hat on bling, and that's probably how he would look.
Oh, okay. Well, Mr. Diggs, were you a big fan of Chris Masters and the Master Lock?
I was not.
Oh, okay.
I thought he was generically boring.
Oh, all right.
And everyone had amazing finishers, and he had, even though I love the Full Nelson now, back then I hated it.
Okay. Well, Mr. Diggs, if you could travel back in time and you could arrange it, who would you let Chris Masters put in a master lock? Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi or hippie commune leader Charles Manson?
Charles Manson, just to see how he'd react.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, I know he's not getting out of it. I mean, he'd either break really fast or his facials would just be amazing trying to get out of it.
Okay. All right. Maybe we should just substitute Lynette Squeaky Fromm, a Charles Manson follower who tried to assassinate Gerald Ford. Let her be put in a master lock. Lynette Squeaky Fromm. Yes.
Why, they call her Squeaky?
She had a high voice. Yes.
That would be hilarious.
Okay. Well, Mr. Lamar, do you think we will ever see a tag team comprised of Snoop Dogg and Ice Cube? Do you believe that?
A tag team, no, but they do have a couple collaborations. Was that kind of a tag team they do together?
I'm a little bit unfamiliar with their collaborations. Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil fans what they collaborated on?
I couldn't tell you, but I do. If I'm not mistaken, I'm pretty sure they have a song or two together. That's what YouTube says.
Isn't Snoop Dogg from the southern states along the Gulf Coast? Snoop Dogg?
No, Snoop from Cali.
Oh, okay, all right. Yes, you're right. Yes, I think he had a couple run-ins with a gang leader, Tukey Williams, out there in L.A. Tukey Williams, Snoop Dogg did.
Okay. I think you're correct.
Well, Mr. Lamar, what some of your harder knife-edged chops that you have received in the ring, and were they from a women wrestler?
Ooh, you're bringing back memories. When I first started, there's a guy named William Huckabee and O'Shea Edwards. We were in a battle royal, and I somehow got stuck in the corner with those two, and it became a one-upsman contest. My chest was so red, I think I eliminated myself in that battle royal.
Oh, man. Ooh, okay.
I have been hit so hard that a guy, he hit me so hard, he busted open my chest and put a blister on his own hand.
Oh, that is hard. Holy smokes. Okay. Oh, my gosh. Well, what do you prefer, tag team or singles competition? And have you ever tagged with a lady wrestler?
I have. I prefer singles, considering every partner in tag team I've eventually turned on them. I had a female tag partner in a legal lottery, and it was the most hilarious thing ever. She was about 5'4", unicorn princess, and then there was me. And she had put the unicorn horns on my head, and it was fun, to say the least. When everything was said and done, I had one of those 4-foot-long pink unicorns that I rode to the ring for our tag team. It was hilarious. We ended up having a custody battle over Pinky.
Wow. Is there any YouTube video of this?
Thankfully, no.
Oh, come on. Boy, I'd much rather watch that than maybe some of the master locks, not all of them. But, boy, that'd be nice.
You're right on that. But now that I look back at it, I something you just wish no one ever saw. And even though it was hilarious, probably some of my greatest comedic work. I just cannot go back and look at it.
Okay. All right. Now, speaking of comedic work, there's a lot of wrestlers out here in the Northwest that have tried out for stand-up comedy. Is stand-up comedy something that you're thinking about getting into?
No.
No.
I am not tell a joke funny. If something funny happens to me, it's all on accident. And I'll run with the joke, but I can't set it up.
Okay. All right. Well, Mr. Diggs, I wish you well if you do take on that responsibility or that, endeavor of recreating the executioners of the 21st century. And at this time, I'm going to take it back over to Sungai. Give it back over. Nice talking with you.
All right.
Thank you, QT. Well, Mr. Diggs, here in 2020, one of the primary way of making money in pro wrestling, especially when there were no shows running, was merchandising. A lot of wrestlers really count on the merchandising end to make profit at wrestling on an independent level. Some people do extremely well, and that's the primary income from the wrestling business is the merchandising. What have you done over the years as far as merchandising and marketing?
Merchandising and marketing, I have my T-shirts sold directly through me on my Facebook page, Lamar Diggs. I'm about to open up my storefront, Storefrontier shop, getting a lot of merchandise out with the button, t-shirts, things like that. Merch has never been my strong point. It's one of those things where I'll have it, but it's not something that I just push. I have someone do that for me.
From what you've seen at shows from other people, what would you say has been some of the most unusual items that people have tried to sell at a wrestling show?
We got Joey Ryan's Glow Pops. Women sell anything. The guys sell toys. They sell video games. Unusual. I've seen hoes, so like little toy hoes, the shovels or whatever you want to call them. I thought that was kind of weird. And something else. It was really dumb. Ah, crap! I can't remember it now. Yeah, I can think of the hoes on.
It would make a lot of sense with Hacksaw Duggan selling the hoes.
Yeah, the Godfather sold hoes too, but that's a different story altogether right there.
Right, right. Now, obviously, with a longer layoff than we've had in wrestling basically ever, a lot of people in the business were struggling to maintain ring shape. Some people got into much better shape due to the layoff. Some people are coming back in less than ideal shape. The spectrum has been all over the map as far as that goes. What were you personally doing as far as training and trying to maintain ring readiness?
You just have to keep your cardio up. Yeah, you just have to realize that you're not going to be off forever. Cardio, eat right. You know, stay working out the best you can. If you can't get in the gym, you just have to improvise. And it doesn't hurt that I also have a nutritionist where I train at that keeps me in line. You know, every time I post something on Facebook, like I'm a cook, that she's like, no, you ain't. But, yeah, my nutritionist keeps me in line to keep this awesome figure of mine.
One of the other things that a lot of people were doing with the time off was developing new wrestling gear. A lot of people wanted to come back and have brand-new gear ready for their first shows. Was designing and having new gear made something that you personally did, or was that on a back burner?
It is, but it wasn't something that I necessarily had to do. I just wanted more variety. My gear is simple. It's not flashy. It's like my moveset. It's not flashy. It's not gimmicky. It's me. But, you know, a lot of people, gear is their gimmick, so they have to stay ahead of trends and do stuff like that. That's just not something I'm into, honestly. Yeah, some people's gear looks better than their wrestling, so.
That's true. Well, we have a few minutes left on the show today, and I want to give you ample time. So if there is anything you would like to say to the listeners, plug and promote anything and everything you would like, the social medias, the upcoming shows, the merchandise, your favorite car dealership, anything at all, floor is yours.
Okay. Well, I want you all to make sure you go out and most importantly support independent wrestling. Right now things are picking back up, catching steam, go out, catch a show, buy their merch. Check me out for any merch, Lamar Diggs on Facebook, where I will personally get you your your T-shirts, 8x10s, buttons, whatever I have. We got a store frontier coming up. I think I said it right. I might be saying it wrong. That'll be there soon with absolutely new merch. Catch me at a couple shows. We have PCW on the 24th. HCW in Cordelia, Georgia on the 30th. United Wrestling on the 31st. The 17th I have. Oh, that got canceled. Promoters, if you cancel a show, let people know ahead of time. You know, give the boys something for wasting their time. But like I said, just most importantly, go out and support independent wrestling. We can't let this thing die out. Be safe. Wear your mask. If you don't want to wear your mask, still come to the show. Just stay away from me. I think that's all I got. I am the silent bully with a heart of gold but fist of bricks. I want to thank you guys for having me on the show.
Our pleasure. We definitely enjoyed having you. Hopefully we'll get to do this again soon. And definitely best of luck to you as you continue upward and onward in your career.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, fans, definitely if you see Lamar is going to be at a show near you, go buy a ticket and watch him. I think you're going to enjoy his work, support him and what he does. And I do have a bit of breaking news. I have confirmed with my niece, who is in Alabama, that at least parts of Alabama is going to see some rain, but nothing else from the tropical storms. It looks like they're dodging a bullet.
Well, I don't want to drive it.
I don't blame you at all. Atlanta's rough enough, but it looks like people in Alabama are not going to get full force tropical storm. So that's good news for them. Everyone be safe in Alabama anyway, just to be sure. Keep an eye on the weather reports. We'll be back with you Sunday afternoon with our guest Charlie Cruel. So make sure to be with us then, and we'll talk to you soon.
I can see you.